This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 36. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get onto the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up onto the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down off the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And then they climbed onto the boat and the wind died down. Then those who were on the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent a word to all of the surrounding country. People brought all who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
Good morning. It's great to be with you all today. And it's such a privilege to be here. And I just want to start by thinking, as Christians, we're followers of Jesus. But have you ever done something that you really felt Jesus wanted you to do, but it didn't go how you would expect? Maybe you've prayed for a situation. Maybe you've prayed for someone to know God or for someone to be healed, but it's not happened. Maybe you felt Jesus has asked you to give some money away, even though you were struggling yourself. But you were expecting some sort of reward, and it didn't happen. Maybe you thought Jesus wanted you to help someone, only to feel afterwards that you'd been taken advantage of. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced all of those things. And when this happens, we can find ourselves thinking, Jesus, did I hear you wrong? Did I do something wrong? Is there some unknown sin in my life? Why didn't it work like I thought it was going to? Why did you ask me to do this, but it didn't happen how I thought it would? And so often we might think, or we might hear from different people, you know, if you follow Jesus properly, then nothing can go wrong. But actually, I don't think that's the case. I mean, we know Jesus himself followed God totally, 100%, and yet he was executed as a traitor. I mean, if it didn't work for Jesus, maybe it doesn't work for us. But then, as Joy shared last week as well, from the parable of the sower, Jesus doesn't promise us an easy life. He says there will be difficulties. But if all of this is the case, then what's the point of following Jesus? What do we gain from it? What difference does it make to be a follower of Jesus? And that's where I want to come and have a look at this story today, because I think it makes a massive difference. So let's start by just imagining ourselves in the story that we've just heard. Now, I don't know about you, but on the occasion when I've rowed a boat or, you know, gone to the gym and used the rowing machine, it's hard work, isn't it? It's very physically draining. And the Sea of Galilee is about 10 miles across, and it says they were in the middle of the lake. So they've gone 5 miles in maybe 8 hours. And I know these guys were probably fitter than me, but that's got to be pretty tiring. They've just done a long day with Jesus. Jesus just fed 5,000 people and taught them, and they saw this amazing miracle. And then straight away, they get into this boat, and they struggle all night, even though they're tired. It's almost the morning. Maybe it's pitch black because of all the clouds. It's wind. It's cold. They're wet from all the spray. They're just incredibly tired. Perhaps a few of them are rowing the boat. Maybe a few people are trying to bail the water out. Maybe a few people are trying to get a bit of a nap before it's their time. And maybe some of them just wanted to give up right there in the middle of the storm and be blown back to shore. But in this story, there's something that maybe we don't notice, because the first sentence goes like this. Did you notice this? It says, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. Jesus made the disciples do this. So in this story, there's no hint that the disciples have done anything wrong, that they're disobedient in any way. Jesus has sent them into this storm. And here they are in the middle of the storm, struggling, tired, worn out, not knowing if they're going to live or die. But Jesus sent them there. And I'm sure many of us maybe feel the same way about this pandemic or different circumstances in our lives. Think, why is this happening? Why am I struggling so much? Where is Jesus in all of this? And where is he? He comes, in this story, he comes into the middle of the chaos and is with them. Jesus comes into the middle of the chaos and is with them. And that's the story of the gospel, isn't it? God doesn't sit on high and solve all of the problems of the world remotely. Rather, as we celebrated just a few months ago at Christmas, Jesus enters into the world, enters into the story of the world. Emmanuel, God is with us. God made human among us. He's not afraid of being in the chaos, in the difficulty, in the dark places with us. Amen. Jesus comes into the chaos with us. Now, if you've read the Gospel of Matthew before, you'll know that a few chapters earlier, I think it's chapter 8, there's a very similar story. And this time Jesus is in the boat with his disciples. They're in the middle of the lake, and suddenly from nowhere this fierce storm blows up and they're going to capsize. But Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping. The disciples wake him up. They say, "Save us, we're going to drown, aren't you afraid?" And Jesus gets up and he rebukes the storm. He says, "Be still," and suddenly it is. And Jesus then says, "You of little faith, why were you so afraid?" Now, I don't think that by sending the disciples off into the middle of the storm, Jesus is expecting them to do the same thing, but I think he was wanting them to remember, hey, last time we were in a similar situation, Jesus saved us from it. So this time, because he sent us, we can trust that he will do the same again. And in Greek, the language that this story was originally recorded in, the words for trust and faith and belief are all the same. It's all the same word. So often, when we're in the church, we can spiritualize this thing into some sort of abstract concept, believe in Jesus, but have faith in God. But that, I don't know about you, but I find that kind of quite hard and a distant thing. But what these stories really come down to, in maybe a simpler thing, is do we trust that in every situation, Jesus is with me? Do I trust that Jesus is with me in this storm, in this difficulty, in this situation? Do we really trust that whatever is happening around us, Jesus still cares and is going to work things for our good? And there's something in this story that's absolutely remarkable, because we know Jesus comes to the disciples and he's walking on the water. Now, obviously to our ears, that defies modern science and that's just crazy. But to the Jewish disciples and to the first hearers of this story, it was even more remarkable, because in their understanding of the Bible, in their thought, walking on something is actually a symbolic picture of having authority over it. Now, if you read the book of Revelation, especially Revelation 10, you'll see that this picture is used many times in the Bible of having authority. And in Jewish thought, the sea is not seen as a nice place to go for a holiday or a cruise. You know, you're not going and sipping drinks by the beach. It's seen as a chaotic, primordial, difficult, demonic, even satanic, even place. And that's why in the first story, where Jesus stood up and it says he rebuked the sea, it's almost like he was casting a demon out of it or something. He was behaving with it the same way as he behaved with demons. And in this story, Jesus comes to them and he's walking on the sea. He's claiming authority even over this chaos, even over this darkness, even over these satanic forces. Jesus has authority over them, full and complete authority. And if Jesus has full and complete authority over every situation, like this story is trying to tell us, even in our day-to-day struggles, even in the midst of COVID, he is still in control. He still has this authority. And that really affects how we pray, doesn't it? We can pray to Jesus with certainty for the situations, knowing maybe we'll get what we expect, maybe we'll not. But we know that we can trust him. We know that he is good. We know that he has full and complete authority. And now, in the second part of the story, the focus, it switches from the disciples as a whole to Peter as an individual. And we know from the other stories in the Bible that Peter is often the most impulsive one. I mean, Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Or Jesus says, "I'm going to be crucified and you're all going to run away from me." And Peter says, "I'm never going to desert you, even if we go to death together." But we also know from the stories that straight after these, Peter often falls down. So he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And then he starts to tell Jesus off because Jesus is saying, "Well, yes, you've understood right, but I need to go to the cross." Peter says, "No, no, that's not the way." And what does Jesus say? He says, "Get behind me, Satan." The very night that Peter says, "I'm never going to deny you, even if I have to die with you," he denies three times that he even knows Jesus. And in this story, he shows incredible faith, but he then proceeds to start to sink and waver. And if we think about it, this story, it hasn't actually switched away from the other 11 disciples. They are still sitting there on the boat, shivering and wet and cold and exhausted. And they're there watching Peter. Maybe it's like that for us sometimes. We see someone showing, you know, doing something incredible, taking an amazing step of faith, and we think, "Oh, I wish I had his faith, but I just don't have the courage." Or, you know, maybe some people were jealous of him. "Oh, Peter, he's always trying to show off. He's always trying to be first." And if you've heard someone talk about this story before, the chances are that you've heard this story called the Great Faith of Peter, because he takes that step of faith out of the boat and into the water. And it was great yesterday to hear how that had encouraged Phil to set up his own business recently. But I think there's more to the story than that, because often we read this story for our own Western individualistic worldview, and our culture values independence and boldness and leadership more than anything else. But the disciples, they weren't Western. The other 11 disciples, it was very a collectivist culture, like it is in the Middle East and many parts of the world today. And in this sort of culture, the group, the community of the 12 disciples, is much more important than the individual of Peter. So if we take a step back and try and think about this story in a bit more of an Eastern perspective, what's Peter doing here? He's actually committing just about the worst sin that is possible. He's leaving his group, he's leaving his community, he's deserting his friends. I mean, just think about it. Until this point in the story, the disciples have all together struggled against the storm, struggled against the sea. They've gone through this journey together. They're worn out, they're tired, they're stressed. And Peter looks over at Jesus walking on the water and he thinks, oh, it's great for him. He's got it sorted. I'm going to do a runner and go and join him. He's deserting his friends. And what happens? Peter is humbled when he does this. He starts to sink. He realizes, I can't do this by myself. And he looks to Jesus and he says, save me. And Jesus, what does he do? He comes, he picks him out of the water, and he doesn't take him over to the other side of the lake to be with him, just him and Jesus. He picks him up and he puts him back into the boat with the other 11 disciples. He says, this is where you need to be. You need to be with me. You need to be with your brothers and sisters who are also part of my family. And COVID has taught us many things, but I think one of the big lessons for us in the West is that actually the Western ideal of independence and self-sufficiency doesn't work so well. It doesn't work when it's taken to extremes. We all need each other. And the church, that is the community of people that believe and follow Jesus, we need to be at the center of this together. Let's not be a community that waits for the leaders to say something or someone else to take initiative. Let's each think practically this week, how can we be serving one another? How can we be showing love to one another? How can we be praying for, speaking with, encouraging one another? And so many Christians, we so often think or act like the most important thing is me and Jesus. And at best, I think that's only partially the truth. Jesus saves us not for independence, but for interdependence. He saves us for interdependence. He saves us into a community. The Apostle Paul says, Jesus saves us to be a part of community with Jesus as the head and us all together as the body. And every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, what do we say? Though we are many, we are one body. So, as we come to an end of thinking about this story, let's ask ourselves just one final question. Why was it that the first disciples thought it was so important to write down this story for people? Why did they go around and they shared it with everyone? I think it was because through this situation, through this event that they lived together, Jesus' disciples learnt what it meant to trust him in every situation. And as they went around sharing the good news with everyone, they said, this is something that we too need to hear and to be encouraged by. We are all in the same position now as those first disciples. We've heard this story today. We've seen the amazing salvation, the amazing authority and power of Jesus. And he sends us out into the world to share this with other people, to share this story, to share the other stories about him in the Bible, to share the stories of our own lives. He sends us out. Jesus says at the very end of Matthew's gospel, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go, he says. He says, so go. Because I have this authority, you can go out into the world. And yes, we individually in our own lives might feel like we're in the middle of this difficult storm and situation and COVID and whatever else is going on. But Jesus has sent us out. The question is, do we trust him? Will we trust him? And if we're finding it difficult today, even though we have this amazing trust in Jesus, how much more difficult is it for those people who don't know him, who have no sense of there being any hope in the darkness, any possibility that the storm could be calmed? We need to be going out and proclaiming Jesus' absolute authority over everything. And if we act and pray like this is the case, then of course we'll see breakthroughs and miracles and healings and all of these things. Even if our situations are difficult, we still need to be going and proclaiming Jesus' goodness to each other and to the world. So let's take this current pandemic season as a chance to remind us that it's not independence, but interdependence, that the church community is so important. And let's be encouraging each other in this over the next weeks. I'd like to just say a quick prayer. Jesus, thank you that you have full and total authority over everything in this world. I pray today that we would know more of your power, more of your peace. Please be with us. Calm the storms in our own hearts and be sending us out so that we can share this amazing good news about your power and authority and salvation to this world. And please help us to be built more and more closely together with one another in this community of believers. Please put on our minds this week a way we can encourage and pray for and share with other people in this community of St. Nicholas. In Jesus' name, amen.